Let's open our Bibles to Exodus 20, verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12, and it reads, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." Let's pray. Father, we want to honor you. We thank you for your word, and we ask now, Lord, to open our eyes so we may see the beauty of your word and the beauty of your person. Glorify yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Are my children here? After I had come to know Jesus as my Savior, a desire grew in my heart to study the Bible. I had spent a month in Israel, seeing the land of Israel, seeing the land of the Bible. And it only increased my desire to know what was in the Bible, to know more about my newfound faith. So I asked my parents if I could attend a Bible college. Now, you have to understand that my life had undergone some changes. I had been a student at the University of Louvain. I should say I was a left-wing student. I had participated in various student demonstrations. I had flown a special flag out my window to commemorate the day of Che Guevara's death. It was all so romantic, so idealistic, and so naive. And then the Lord stepped into my life and changed my outlook. And I think my parents at first were quite pleased, at least, that I had given up those crazy ideas. But they weren't sure what to do with their son, who was now adhering to a faith that was not Roman Catholic. So as I asked my parents if I could go to Bible school, it was difficult for them. Now, I had put it on my heart that I would honor my parents, that if they would not allow me to go, I would not go. Now, of course, I didn't tell them that. So I prayed that they would allow me to go. And when I asked them, I could see the pain in their eyes, because I think they were feeling that they were losing a son. And they asked me, "Can we think about this?" So they wanted to think about it for about 4 weeks. And I was praying. I was praying, that's all I wanted to do, that they would actually acquiesce and allow me to go to a Bible college. And after 4 weeks, when I came back to them, the Lord had so forged the situation that they allowed me to even go to a Bible college here in the United States. And they even paid half of my tuition. They supported me emotionally and financially throughout my studies. So I always felt good about my decision that I would honor my parents and let them have a say into my future. Now, of course, this is a story with a happy ending for me, since they agreed with me. But how do we honor our parents when they do not agree with us? Now, this is, of course, the fifth commandment, and it means that, well, what does it mean? We have to honor our parents. How do we fill this in? Does it only mean that we let them have some say in our life at various points in our lives? How do we honor our father and mother? Is it to say yes to all that they say? Is this command written only to the younger generations who are still living with their parents' house, in your parents' house? How do we honor our parents today? And what does the second part mean in this verse? That your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Well, up to now, we've dealt with commands that dealt with our vertical relationships in our lives, meaning with our relationship with God. And the fifth commandment deals with our relationship with parents. And God begins here by looking at the most fundamental social group in society, namely the family. Still, I see this command as a link between the horizontal commands and the vertical commands. The horizontal commands dealing with our fellow man, and the vertical commands dealing with God. And the second part of this verse seems to be dealing more with the outcome of the command than the reason of the command. There is no question among anybody who studies the Bible of the remaining legitimacy of this command. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament clearly and repeatedly teach this truth. So what does it mean to honor our father and our mother? First, I'd like to talk about who is to be honored. It is clear from this command and from the rest of the scriptures that both the father and the mother are to be honored. They're almost always mentioned together. Proverbs 10:1, a wise child makes a glad father, but a foolish child is a mother's grief. Or Proverbs 15:20, a wise child makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. We read in Genesis that Jacob obeyed his father and mother and left his homeland to go to Paddan Aram. In a number of the offenses that a child can do against his parents, both the father and the mother are mentioned. Exodus 21:15, whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Ooh, pretty strong. Leviticus 20, verse 9. If there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood guiltiness is upon him. Or Deuteronomy 21:18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. The mother deserves the same respect and honor as the father. Now, how shall we honor our parents? This is a positive command. It requires you to do something. When one examines all the places where this verb honor and its verbal conjugation occurs, we come to a conclusion that the one doing the honoring performs certain actions which result in that the father and the mother are being established in a place of honor. So what are those actions? What are the scriptures telling us? Well, for the first one, we can honor our parents by meeting their physical needs. Joseph promised his father that he would provide for him as long as a famine lasted. In Ruth, Obed, the son of Ruth, is called Naomi's sustainer in her old age. This is his grandmother. Through a study of the surrounding cultures, we can conclude that providing for your parents was a well-practiced custom of which we find much more detailed delimitation in non-Israelite records. A large number of legal tablets in the ancient Near East, inheritance tablets and adoption tablets, stipulate that the children were to provide the parents with rations of food, clothing, and oil, mainly olive oil for hygienic and medicinal purposes. And this is also hinted at in the passage that we read this morning. The Pharisees had found a way around supporting one's parents by claiming that they had dedicated this support to the temple, to God. And this service, this korban practice in view, was that of pledging money or other material resources that they had to God, to the temple, to be paid upon one's death. And these funds, therefore, once they're dedicated to the temple, could not be transferred to anyone else, but could still be used by the pledger for their own benefit while they were still alive. So the Pharisees were able to get great public acclaim for pledging their goods to the temple as a sign of their deep devotion to God, while at the same time not supporting, not honoring their parents, but still being able to support themselves in a quite comfortable way. Not just by providing their needs do we honor the parents, but also by what we call revering our parents. Leviticus 19:3 states, "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." This is a command to each and every individual Israelite. The verb here is used the same as the one used in the verse, "You shall fear the Lord your God." Just as God is described as being feared, so also children are required to fear, revere the parents. We find specific statements in the Bible how this is done in public. By standing up when an elderly person came into a room, or to show respect by letting the elderly speak first. Leviticus 19, verse 32. "Rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord." We see this happen when Laban, the father of Rachel, came into Rachel's tent, and she was making excuse, "Let me stay seated, please." Because normally, the younger generation would rise in front of the older generation. Elihu, in the book of Job, said, "I am young in years and you are aged. Therefore, I was timid to declare my opinion to you." So he kept quiet because he felt the elderly, the older generation, has more wisdom and we should allow them to speak first. That's rising and keeping quiet as a demonstration for respect can also be seen in Job 29, verses 7 to 10. "When I went out of the gate of the city, when I prepared my seat in the square, the young men saw me and withdrew, and the aged rose and stood. The princes refrained from talking and laid their hands on their mouth." So it's a sign of respect to rise, to step aside, or to be quiet when somebody else speaks, somebody else who they think they should honor. This practice was not just an Israelite practice, it was practiced even in the neighboring countries. Herodotus, the Greek historian, writes, "There is another custom in which the Egyptians resemble a particular Greek people, namely the Lacedaemonians. Their young men, when they meet their elders in the streets, give way to them and step aside. And even elders come in, where young men are present, these latter rise from their seats." So we honor our parents by providing in their needs and by giving them respect, revering them. A third way is by obeying our parents. We find frequent statements in Proverbs admonishing children to obey their parents, to listen to them. "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Proverbs 23:22. Or Proverbs 6:20, "My child, keep your father's commandment and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Obedience is a necessary part of honoring, revering. And the Apostle Paul affirmed this when he wrote in Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And we'll talk more about this passage a little bit later. A fourth way of honoring your parents is by abstaining from certain evil practices, by not doing certain things. One of these things is by not cursing one's parents. Exodus 21:17, it states, "Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death." Proverbs 30, verse 11, describes an evil generation and states, "There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers." Leviticus 20, verse 9, "For anyone who has cursed his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Proverbs 20, verse 20. If one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out into utter darkness. To state it differently, one way of clearly not honoring your parents is by cursing them, or put it more positively, by not blessing them. A second thing we should not do is, of course, kind of logical, is physically abusing one's parents. Exodus 21:15, whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Clearly, hurting one's parents physically by either striking or anything else is a direct violation of the fifth commandment. Proverbs 19:26, he who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. The last negative thing that you should not do is treating your parents with contempt. Proverbs 30:17 says, the eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Woo. I wouldn't want to have that happen. A child who disrespects his parents could only expect to come to a calamitous end. Ezekiel 22:7 says, writes, father and mother are treated with contempt in you. The sojourner suffers extortion in your midst. The fatherless and the widow are wronged in you. Look also at Micah 7:6. Or the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. What we find here in Micah and Ezekiel is a society in disarray. In such a society, the parents were not respected. They were treated with contempt. Coming back to more positive statements, we've seen now that we honor our parents by providing for them, by revering them, by obeying them, by not doing certain things to them, and also, lastly, by providing a proper burial. We find this in the Bible. A parent is honored by providing a proper burial and being mourned when they die. It's interesting that Abram and Ishmael came back together after their father, Isaac and Ishmael came back together after their father Abram had died. Jacob's children mourned and buried Jacob when he had died. In our days, I hope we come back together as a family when our parents die. But often, the funeral is a time when inheritance battles start that actually completely destroy the family bond of the deceased person, and it clearly does not honor them. Who shall do the honoring? Who shall do the honoring? Is this only a command given to the younger generation who live with their parents? It is just for those from 0 to 18 that have to honor their parents? No, I don't think so. I believe both young children and grown-up children are the subject of this command, which demanded an attitude of respect, obedience, and concern for the well-being of the parents. It must be done while one grows up under the guidance of one's parents, and it's something that continues while you are a grown person. The Bible even mentions occasions when the dead were honored by the living. Job talks about the sons of a man who come to honor him after he died. Malachi states these are the proverb, a son honors his father. This is common practice. This is the right practice. We have already mentioned the passage in Leviticus 19:3. Every Israelite is ordered to revere his mother and his father. Not just the young ones, but everybody, young and old. The book of Proverbs is built on the premise that a son will honor his parents by obeying. Hear, my child, your father's instruction, and do not reject your mother's teaching. Children who obeyed were considered to be wise children, and those who did not, foolish. A man with wise children, obedient children, was considered to be blessed. And there is no age limit here. It's always throughout the time. Why is there a command to honor our parents? It is just something we have to do, or can we discern reasons for this command? It is interesting that the command to honor one's parents follows the four commandments that deal with our worship to God. It seems to me that the fifth commandment is directly tied in to the person of God. Look again at Leviticus 19, verses 2 to 3. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. It's sandwiched in the worship of God. The reverence of our parents has been tied into the character and person of God. It is something that marked the people of God. Every one of God's people was ordered to revere, to honor one's parents. I also believe that we are commanded to honor our parents because they, like God, have become life givers to us, their children. The first woman was called Eve, but in Hebrew it comes out as Chava. And Chava is derived from the verb Chaya, which means to keep alive or to bring to life. And she's called the mother of all living persons. God, in his grace, has seen fit to allow fallen men still to be life givers, which is such a divine act. And as life givers, they are a representation of God here on earth, since God is the ultimate life giver. We have been created in his image and his likeness. A possible other reason why we have to honor our parents is because God is called our Father. Inasmuch as our physical fathers are representatives of our perfect Father in heaven, we owe them the honor due to them. It is also true, as I mentioned it already before, that the smallest meaningful socioeconomic unit is a family. Our society stands or falls on how we define and strengthen this socioeconomic unit in society. If parents, as authority figures within the home, are respected by children, then respect for authority figures within society at large will also follow, and society can function. If the authority of the parents is not respected, then I think it is a first step for a society to start crumbling. This is what we see at play in Deuteronomy 21, 18 to 21, where the authority of the parents is being challenged by a stubborn and rebellious son. It was a duty of the parents to take this son in front of the elders in order to protect society. It was in the interest of society to intervene when social misbehavior took place in their midst. St. Augustine asked rhetorically, if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? So in the home, children are under the authority of their parents, and children are to honor that God-ordained authority. The second part of the verse relates to the results of doing the first part. When you honor your parents, there is a promise. There is a promise that you may live long in the land. Now, the word for land here is not the word Eretz, which is normally a reference to the land of Israel. But it is another word, the word Adama, which normally means earth, ground, as a token of the blessing upon the land that you will work. God blesses your endeavors upon the land that you will work if you act like this, and you will live long. Long life or existence is a typical blessing of God. It's really saying, if you do this, God's blessings will come to you. Now understand, what the scripture is teaching is a general truth. It is generally true. This will normally happen. But there are situations where sometimes you will have still difficult ways ahead, obstacles that come your way. So I'm not saying that it is a health and wealth gospel. Treat your parents well and you will be rich. I'm not saying that. A healthy relationship between parents and children is the foundation for the development of a mature, healthy, and confident child who will have listened to the wisdom of his parents and will know and heed the warning of his parents and thus avoid the common traps and pitfalls of life. Bill Hybels described it as follows: the family is the birthplace of self-esteem. In the family, children learn their value as human beings. The best example of this in the Gospels is seen in the negative example of the prodigal son. The young man was so rebellious and selfish that he asked for his inheritance before his father died. And in a way, he's saying, I wish you were dead. At least then I could have had your money. So the father gave the young man his money, and he gathered all that he had and went off into a far country. And there he blew every penny he had, parting it up. And the prodigal son learned that rebellion and dishonor does not lead to freedom, but to slavery. Sin always leads to slavery. And perhaps no sin illustrates that more than the sin of dishonoring your father and your mother. Can you imagine what the world would be like where parents are being honored? There would be no teenager filled with angst who flees from his parents' care into all kinds of immorality. There would be no senior citizen lying lonely in a home with no one to take care of him or her. There would be no euthanasia. Some final thoughts from the Bible. Paul writes in Ephesians, and we talked about this briefly before, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. The first duty of the children is obedience. Now it says here, in the Lord. Now, in the Lord qualifies not parents, but obey. It doesn't mean that if your parents are not believers, you don't have to obey them. In the Lord makes it clear that it's only because of our identity in Christ, that we can do dishonoring. Our abiding in Christ will make such obedience easier and more graceful. It also means, and it is sad that I have to mention this, but this is the kind of society we live in now, that if your parents are asking you to do something that is clearly wrong or are hurting you, you are not required to listen to them. Should a parent impede on the physical and spiritual welfare of a child, disobedience to parents becomes a necessary evil. And I wish we didn't have to talk about this, but just a couple of months ago, I heard about this child that was locked up in a room, pretty much starved to death, and finally was able to escape. And when the word came out, her parents had starved to death two of her siblings and then put them in a refrigerator, in a freezer, so that they wouldn't give away that their children had died. It's sad to have to mention this. This is not the normal norm. And I'm hoping that none of you had ever to deal with this. But the norm is normally that your parents care for you very much, and in response, we honor them. The duty of honoring rests on the first principle of morality. For this is right, says Paul. It is an obligation that rests on the very nature of things and cannot change with the spirit of the age. This is not something that was for the early 20th century. This is for all ages. This command is balanced by Paul in verse 4 of the same chapter. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. With this authority comes responsibility. Again, in the way you treat your own children will treat their children. So for the sake of your legacy, bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, and they will respect you. Be firm, but loving. Thirdly, honor your parents so that your children will honor you. The way we deal with our parents will speak volumes to our children as to how they should and will treat us when they're out of the house, and tells them also how serious we are taking the scriptures. Honoring your parents teaches you respect for authority. Now, that might not be very popular at a time when the slogan is challenge authority or question authority, it might not be the cool thing to do, but it is the right thing to do. I believe God gave us this command because he wants us to realize that we are under authority. If we are too busy to honor our parents, we probably also will be too busy to honor God. Young children are often just focused on their own needs and wants. Teenagers sometimes think their parents are hopelessly outdated and ignorant. Young adults are too consumed with their work and with their own relationships. And middle-aged children view the needs of their aged parents as burdensome and an infringement on their long-earned personal freedom and enjoyment of life. We are not living in a society where the older generation is really respected, as in some cultures. I cringe when I hear people talk about their old man. I never realized how much my parents sacrificed to allow myself and my six other siblings to go to college and allow us to have a great start in life until I had to send off my son to college. My dad worked three jobs, one during the daytime, one in the evening, and one in the weekends. My mom always had the house in order and provided us with warm meals no matter what time of the day. And I'm sure that most of you have similar stories like that. Have we shown our appreciation to our parents lately? My greatest appreciation for my parents is for the values that they passed on to me. Honesty, hard work, and determination. I don't know how many times I witnessed both my mom and dad about ready to leave the store when they realized that the store clerk had given them too much money in return, and they went back to complain that they had received too much money. I also don't know how many times when I talked over the phone and that they sensed I was discouraged or homesick, that they encouraged me to hang in, to not to give up, not to lose courage, and etc. Great values. Let me go now to end this to a number of applications. How do we honor our parents? Well, one, I think we need to seek to understand them as parents. Parenthood doesn't end when you leave the house. It is a calling that lasts a lifetime. When things happen to you, it will not always be easy for them to express their concern without you feeling that they're meddling with your personal life. Embrace their concern, and you honor them with that. Secondly, seek to understand your parents as persons. Your parents, had siblings, had interests and hobbies. Parenthood is just one of their sides, one of their characteristics, but there are so much more. They have been shaped by the events of their lives. Allow them to share about their upbringing, their lives, their experiences. Believe me, there will be a time when you will say to yourself, I wish I had written everything down that they had told us, how life was in their time. We can often learn from them, and by trying to understand them as persons, we honor them. Thirdly, seek to understand them as less than perfect. Now we might say that's easy. They are like you, less than perfect. They have their own personalities, quirks, tendencies, and maybe certain sins, just like we do. They know how to push your buttons. Maybe you do too to them. Show them some grace, for this is what it's meant to honor parents. Speak well of them. Fourthly, do not belittle them to your friends, siblings, or your spouse. If we speak ill of them, I think we are breaking this commandment. They might have gotten under your skin many times and still do, but resist speaking ill of them, but highlight the good in them to the people around you. And this will honor them. Remember them. When you left home, you might have left a great void behind because your parents poured their love and care into you. Share your appreciation, your gratitude with them. Stay in contact with them. Remember them, that this will also honor them. Assign them a role into your family. Allow them to still have input into your life and even into their grandchildren. Nowadays, with our technology and transportation, it is much easier to stay in contact, even over long distances. If you live far away, you can install a web camera, and with Skype, you can interact with them for free. It honors them. Look out for their concern and needs. Just as you might fret about the safety of your children, we should be concerned about the welfare and safety of our parents. Anticipate their needs. Be proactive, because that shows them that you're concerned and that you're loving them. And this honors them. And lastly, desire to honor them. The suggestion list I just gave you will be meaningless unless there is a clear and real desire in your heart to honor them. If you're going through this as just a checklist to do, without really being convicted or convinced, the tone and your actions will give you away that it is just something that you feel obliged to do. And sometimes we need help from God in this. We need to ask God for the right heart to do this. Ask Him to put this desire in your heart. Every step you take in this area, no matter how small, I believe honors God Himself. Your walk with God will benefit if you do this. Your marriage, I think, will benefit. Your children will benefit. God will smile on you because you honor your parents. And because you honor your parents, you honor Him, the Lord of heaven and earth. Let's pray. Father, such a simple command that you have given us, and yet, if I look back, how many times have I broken this? I know what my parents have done, and yet sometimes I fail to really show the appreciation, Lord, for what they have done. Lord, I pray that you will work on our hearts. Let us be creative, Lord. Let us be real in living this commandment out. Let us honor our parents, Lord, the way you intended us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.